So this is the fourth message in this series on waiting. And again, the reason I switched it from doing it on Sunday night to the Sunday morning is because I realize every single one of us waits on something every single week. But isn't it interesting how even insignificant things can irritate us? Also, there are very significant things that are serious and they disturb us. They can burden us. So we all wait on different things every week. It's just part of life. And we've already looked at several different aspects to waiting. We've looked at some things that contribute to waiting being hard at times in our lives. And so today what I wanted to do was to take a psalm, and it's one written by David, and observe how David responded to waiting in his life, and so that we can learn how we can better respond to such times in our own lives. So because we had memory verses and we didn't read the scripture, let's read through Psalm 27 so it's fresh in our minds and it'll be on the screen. So I'm going to have to rely on y'all to make sure I'm in sync so that I can't see it back there, okay? So Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I shall seek." Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. If you've been with us, you may remember that I've said on a couple occasions that ultimately waiting is hard because it just reveals how much I'm not in control. I'm not in control of that person. I'm not in control of that situation. I'm not in control of the time or whatever. And so we must come to the one who is in control. And so let's observe what David did here and how David responded to his situation. As I mentioned before, when in a time of waiting, it's so easy to get laser focused and even consumed with what we don't know. And doing that can take up a lot of energy. It can be exhausting at times. And sometimes, for some people, it can become almost like an obsession because it so dominates their thinking, what they don't know. So let me state it again. The undergirding truth of all these things we're studying under this topic of waiting, the undergirding truth that really forms what our response should be in times of waiting is this one. We've said it every week so far. Waiting on God is living on what I know to be true about Him when I don't know what's true in my life, when I don't know what's true about what's happening in my life, I live on what I do know is true about Him. And so that's what David does here. Notice what he does. The very first thing out of his mouth, what's he say? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my defense. Or another translation says, the Lord is my stronghold. He immediately starts focusing on who the Lord is to him. He is my light. If you probably picked up before, darkness in the Bible is usually associated with disorder or evil or confusion. And so sometimes, you know, because of the depth of the situation we're facing, sometimes maybe you have referred to it as, it just feels dark. The situation feels like a darkness involved in it. And sometimes we've expressed ourselves that way because of the seriousness of what it is that's coming to our lives. And notice he says there in verse 1, he talks about fear, he talks about dread or being afraid, another translation says. But if you look at what David says here in verse 1, it's not just that the circumstances are fearful. It's the people. He says, verse 1, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? And then look at verse 2 and 3. He makes the point directly. David talks about the evidence coming upon him to, evildoers coming upon him to devour my flesh, indicating the viciousness and the intensity of those that were coming against David to destroy him, even to kill him. But keep looking, verse 3, it appears that this trouble has multiplied because verse 3 describes the opposition like an army, like a war that's risen against him. And so in the midst of all of this, David turns his focus to whom the Lord is. Did you pick up those three words? The Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is. There's our memory verses. And that's what David's doing. He's focusing on who the Lord is rather than being so consumed with the painful, the hard, the fearful circumstances that he's in. And that's the example for us. Focus on what we know to be true about the Lord when we don't know what's true about what's in our life, what's happening in our life. So the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. And so he's focusing again on who the Lord is. And so as we think about it, let me offer you a suggestion of that might help you to strengthen your focus on the Lord in these kinds of situations, to help you in preaching to yourselves. We have to preach to ourselves sometimes, don't we? We have to tell ourselves the truth. And so these phrases are doing that, the Lord is, but sometimes it just helps to look at it a little different way. So one way that might help you to just really emphasize that is to emphasize the word is. The Lord is. That's talking about present tense, isn't it? The Lord is. The Lord is my stronghold. And sometimes we just need that extra emphasis to catch. That's who the Lord wants to be. Or can I give you a bonus one? Here's another way you could read that just to look at it different, think about a different kind of focus or bring the strength of it to. Say it backwards. You could say it this way. My light is the Lord. My salvation is the Lord. My stronghold is the Lord. So sometimes just the way we form the sentence can emphasize the strength of that truth to our lives. So, when we're confronted with having to wait, when we're struggling with a situation because of, as we've talked about, the uncertainty of the situation, or maybe there's delays in the situation, maybe there's disappointment in the situation, as we encounter those things, we respond by remembering and declaring and focusing on who the Lord is. And that's what we see David doing, very first thing, right out of the gate. Focusing on who the Lord is. And so that's what we're doing in these memory verses this year. I'm giving you 12 opportunities through 12 months to focus on who the Lord is by looking at that little expression, the Lord is. And that's given us opportunities to focus on the Lord and that picture, that description in this month's verse and that month's verse of who the Lord is in the midst of what we may be encountering. I'm full of suggestions this morning. If you want to do something else just to help you with finding out and meditating on who the Lord is, look up these expressions in Scripture. Look up, Lord, you are. Just Google that in the Bible. Search in the Bible, or just the expression, you are. And you will find some tremendous truths that are declared to you about the Lord using those expressions instead of the Lord is. All right? Here's another one. Here's a bonus for you today. You can look up, God is able. Or just look in, is able. Because sometimes it says, use the word him. Sometimes it uses he. Sometimes it uses Lord. Sometimes it uses God. So just do a search of is able. And you'll be again surprised at the number of verses that are just declaring truths that we can focus on in the midst of a situation that we're in the midst of a waiting type of situation that we're in. You'll see other truths as you're reading the Bible on your own as well. But these are just great ways to get started, to set your focus on the Lord through our memory verses and through these expressions up here. And you may see one of those again as our theme of our monthly memory verses next year. We'll see about that. That's what David did at the beginning. He focused on who the Lord was, His light, His salvation, His stronghold. And that's what we need to do in our times of waiting. Focus on what we know to be true about the Lord. We don't know what's happening, what's true, what's going to happen in our own lives. But as you continue working your way through this psalm, you see David moving from this focusing on the Lord to actually beginning to worship the Lord, and even as we saw, sing truths to Him. So as you come to verses 4 through 6, David reaffirms what really matters, what's really important and valuable to him. And he says there in verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold or to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to meditate in His temple. But look at the phrase, the beauty of the Lord. What is that? What does he mean, the beauty of the Lord? So let me talk to you men just for a minute. If I asked you to describe the beauty of your wife, how would you answer? I mean, yes, I'm sure you would bring something about physical qualities, physical beauty. But more than that, you would talk about her character qualities. You would talk about her mannerisms. You would talk about the light that shines through her in your relationship, in your family. You would talk about the unique things about her that just makes her beautiful. Same thing's true about the Lord, is it not? His characteristics, His character qualities, His mannerisms toward us in this relationship we have, the light that shines through Him in this relationship that we have, same types of things that makes Him beautiful, that we rejoice in the beauty of the Lord. And so to gaze upon, to meditate on the beauty of the Lord. And by the way, each of these phrases, the Lord is, that's telling us something about the beauty of the Lord. So, or maybe in terms of your worshiping of Him, it's going back and remembering some of His gracious dealings with you, His gracious dealings for you. And you just saw His beauty and goodness in the way He cared for you, in the way He shepherded you. And as we do this, as we worship Him in that way, we are encouraged, we are strengthened, we are lifted above the circumstances that are touching our lives. Now, David here says, remember in David's day, the Lord's presence was particularly associated with the temple. Or it's not the temple here, it hadn't been built yet, it's the tabernacle. But remember, the Lord's presence was associated with being there in the tent of meetings, the tabernacle, the temple. That's what it was for David in his days. So when he's talking about going to the beauty of being in the house of the Lord, what he's really emphasizing, he wanted to be in the Lord's presence because that's where the presence of the Lord was. And that's what worshiping is designed to be, is it not? To bring us into the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you remember, how many of you even saw it. I forget how many years ago it's been. One of the Kendrick Brothers films, Fireproof. You remember the story? You had Caleb, who was a fireman, who had greatly damaged his relationship with his wife. And so in the movie, he's attempting to win back the love of his wife. And yet he's having to wait because she doesn't trust him. He's violated that love. And so he's having to wait in the midst of trying to win that love back. And I don't remember where it was in the movie, but there was a song somewhere in there. It was called While I'm Waiting. And part of it goes like this. I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord, and I'm hopeful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it is painful, but patiently I will wait. While I'm waiting, I'll serve you. But I like this part. While I'm waiting, I will worship. While I'm waiting, I will worship. That is an active thing we can do, an intentional thing we can do, even in the midst of waiting. And so David is worshiping the Lord, and notice the effects it has, verse 5 and 6. It says, "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent he will hide me, he will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy." You know, even all these things are against him. He says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And so as David focuses on the Lord and begins to worship the Lord, what do you see happening? He senses, he feels the Lord's protection. He feels the Lord being his refuge. His heart's filled with joy, even though the enemies are still surrounding him. And he bursts forth singing. I take that literally. He bursts forth in singing to the Lord because what the Lord has reinforced to him as he focused on him and worshiped him in light of that. So worship in our waiting. That's an important thing to do. To worship in that time of waiting. And I don't know what the best way for you is to worship the Lord. Hopefully, part of it includes coming here on Sundays and worshiping with the body and singing with the body and studying God's Word together, sharing communion together. I hope that's one way you worship Him in times of waiting and stress and trials. Maybe for you, it's also getting private time with the Lord, maybe even extended private time with the Lord, just you and Him. And you meditate, maybe even memorize a particular truth, a particular verse, and just kind of go with that verse, reciting it in your heart and mind throughout the day, throughout the week. Maybe for you, it's listening to a favorite song or songs, plural. Maybe for some of you, it's taking a walk in the woods, watching the sunrise, or like me, sitting in front of the vast ocean. Maybe it's all of the above. But we're all different. We're not all the same. So you figure out what the means of grace is in your life that helps you to worship the Lord in the midst of those kinds of situations. But remember the truth from last week. God designed waiting in our lives so that He becomes central and not me. That He becomes central and not me. And focusing on Him and worshiping Him helps make that a reality. But notice what happens next. After focusing on the Lord and who He is and worshiping Him, David begins taking his request to the Lord in light of his situation. And I just think it's important. Sometimes we rush in and just start spilling everything. I think it's important to take time first to focus and worship, because it gives you a better mindset, a better thinking than how to present your request to the Lord. But notice what David does here in verses 7 through 12. There are 10 results, 10 petitions he lists up to the Lord. I'm just going to read them. I'm not really comment about them, just to point them out. Verse 7, he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice aloud." Verse 7, he cries, he says, "Be gracious to me." Verse 7, he says, "Answer me." Verse 9, "Do not hide your face from me." Verse 9, "Do not turn your servant away in anger." Verse 9, "Do not abandon me." Verse 9, "Do not forsake me." Verse 11, "Teach me your way." Isn't that not a good request to pray when you're in a time of waiting? Lord, I know you're wanting to teach me something in this. Teach me your way. Verse 11, "Lead me on a level path," or the right path, "because my enemies are waiting for me." Verse 12, "Do not deliver me over to the desire or the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence," or they threaten me with violence. So 10 requests. But again, that's what we do when we wait, but in the proper way. We're not in control. So what do? We go to the one who's in control. We don't know what's going on, so what do? We go to the one who does know what's going on and does have a plan and purpose for our lives. And so we cry out to Him, we beseech Him, we bring these requests to Him. But it's after we have focused on who He is and after we've worshiped Him, so we understand who we're coming to and why we're making these requests to Him. So waiting reminds us that we're to seek the Lord as well. Nothing wrong with listening to petitions to Him, but just doing it in the right frame of mind as we've thought about who He is. And then as you come to the end of this psalm, what you see in light of all of that David's done here, he comes to a place of expressing his trust in the Lord. You know, somebody said, I think I said it maybe last week, waiting involves taking what we know and then living on it. That's trust. Taking what we know and then acting on it. Living in light of it. That's trust. So look at what he says in verse 13. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Or other translations say, "I am confident," or "I am certain I will see." That's an affirmation of trust. That's what David's doing here. It's an affirmation of trust that he was going to see God's goodness even in the midst of this fearful situation. He was going to see God's goodness, not just in terms of the future, but even His goodness in the present. Of course, you and I both realize, right? When I talk about the goodness of God, that doesn't mean I see it in the way I think it should be worked out. But you and I have tasted God's goodness even in the midst of serious trials. Our family saw and experienced God's goodness when God called Elizabeth home. That wasn't what we wanted at that point in time. But we saw and experienced God's goodness, and you could share testimonies when you have as well. So it's not just in the future. We can experience His goodness now. Maybe in a different way than we thought or we wanted, hoping for, but still, when we come out of it, what's the expression you hear so often from Christians today? If I get it right here. The Lord is good all the time. And then they flip it, don't they? All the time, God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. That's true. Again, the goodness doesn't manifest itself always the way we hope for. But the testimony becomes, I've seen God's goodness even in the midst of this situation. So David believed. David was confident. David was certain that he would experience the Lord's goodness in this trying situation. So What is his concluding exhortation to himself and to us? Verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. That's what we see David doing here. So if you didn't follow this, because I didn't really make it so much as an outline, but we focus our heart on who the Lord is. We worship Him in light of who He is. Yes, we take that petition to Him. David didn't deny the reality of what he was facing. But we take the petitions to Him, and then we trust Him that He's at work, that He has a specific purpose, a specific plan. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. As we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, is there any better way that we have seen and experienced the Lord's goodness than in Him becoming our substitute on the cross and receiving God's just judgment and wrath against sin and sinners upon Himself, even though we were the ones that were guilty? What a display of God's goodness to rescue and redeem us. So I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads. The Lord does tell us to examine our hearts before we partake of communion. It's something only that true believers are to do. Those that are in a genuine relationship with the Lord, just want you to know, if you're new to our church, you're welcome to be part of this. If you have a genuine relationship with the Lord and things are clear between you and the Lord. So we want to give you a few moments of silence just to examine your own heart and make sure that things are clear between you and the Lord. And then I'll ask you to come up as we do in our church. We have two cups here, one stacked on top of them. The bottom cup has the bread. The top cup has the juice. And you can pick up one of those for you. If you need to make more than one trip, dads, for your family, feel free to do that. And then after everybody has come that's going to, then we'll partake together. So let's bow our heads and just take a moment of silence to look to the Lord and ask Him to examine our hearts. Father, we thank You for Your great goodness in the coming of Jesus as our substitute on the cross to rescue us as those who have violated Your commandments and rebelled against You and sought to be the one who is in charge of our lives instead of You, our Creator. Thank You for the willingness of Jesus to receive the judgment that we deserve because of being sinners. What an act of love. What a picture of Your divine goodness to people who were guilty. So thank You that we can be reminded of that in this tangible way as we take the bread and the cup that represents the body and the blood of Christ. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't have a genuine relationship with You, that they would understand Your great goodness and mercy in sending Jesus for them, that they might even put their trust in Him as they confess their sins to Him. But Lord, thank You for this time as the body of Christ when we can collectively just declare that He is my Savior, He is my Lord, and thank Him afresh for the goodness shown through the shed blood of Christ for us. We thank You and we praise You In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're going to participate, you'll come up and get a cup.